The following presentation, Estates and IT Working Together in Harmony, was given by Sim Barbaresi of Bangor University at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Sim Barbaresi. I'm Deputy Director for IT Services in Bangor University. And I've been in system administration for the last 20 years or so. But in 2011, my role slightly changed. I became responsible for some of the capital, well, the IT element on some of the capital builds in Bangor University and major refurbishments. So I would like to take you through a journey from 2011 to today, on from complete disorder with this, which was shambolic. Then we're going to touch on the data center refurbishment, which was challenging. And then we improved our methods with this particular hall of residence and this one too. And we'll finish off by touching on Poncho, which is going live in September this year. Yeah, 2014, yeah. If you're expecting a technical presentation, apologies, it won't be. It's just my experiences over the last 3 years on these particular builds. And if you've got any questions, could I just have one to make me feel good? Otherwise, I'll be quite depressed at the end. Right, building refurbishment. If you go back to 2011, summer 2011, Reichel Hall to residence. It was a 3.5 million refurbishment, 100 beds, first floor. Ground floor was going to be a conference venue. Sounds easy, but was the problem here? IT involvement was way, way too late. Handover in September, IT was involved in August. So you're talking about, I don't know, 6 weeks before handover is way, 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 way too late. And the attitude of the contractors, oh, that will do. I don't know if you've ever had contractors in your homes, you know, maybe a £500 job in the bathroom or a £2,000, £5,000 job in the kitchen. Whatever's convenient for them, you'll end up with, not for you. And I think they all go to the same builder school. Doesn't matter if it's a £500 job or a £40 million project. Whatever's convenient for them. Tell you what, we can get away with that. That'll be fine. Do you want test certificates? No, we won't bother. Shall we label the data points? We'll label them, but we'll do them wrongly. That's fine, we'll never know. Oh, you want the fiber before the handover? Yeah, that'll be good. No, you can have it as an addition at the end. Oh yeah, PC rooms. So you've got seats. So I expected the PC room to have desk at this level because the seats were at that level, but no, they were at the kitchen unit level, so the students were like that. Analog CCTV, our strategy for analog CCTV, not for CCTV, was to put IP in, but because the contractors for the last 6, 10, 20 years put analog, they continue to put analog because you can put your gizmos on to make it IP. Oh, phones, they thought they were analog. We said they were IP, so they took the analog lines out, that strip out. And it was just faults and faults and more faults, and we were like yo-yos going to site. And I thought at that time, in 2011, there's no way we can continue this process. So what did I learn from that particular project in Reichel? It was guaranteed, it was confusion and chaos for all concerned, estates, the IT department, and the contractors. And I think what the message is trying to get over to estates is that it needs to be clear what are the IT services, the responsibilities, and the relationships, and make sure the communication channels are strong. And I'll come to this point later on, know your place. So I know the people in this room are familiar with the IT infrastructure because that's our background. But, so apologies for the next two slides, but this is the kind of message I needed to get across to estates. They understood that PCs and printers were IT elements. Well, they weren't quite sure about phones. Is that IT or is it an estate's responsibility? Well, they're IP, but some people still think you just go down to Argos, spend, I know, £5 on a phone, £10 on a phone, and for £100 you get 10 phones. Yeah, but as we know, IP phones are not £5 each. So that hits the budget. Oh, BMS, that's a meter, I think, from the BMS system. Yeah, we used to use modems, but not anymore. So what comes first, making the data live or the BMS contractors, they just arrive on site with no fiber, no network. So suddenly we're scrambling around trying to get the network up and running when it shouldn't be because we haven't got any certificates or the labeling is done. AV, they sort of understand that AV is our responsibility. So they just give us one network point in this sort of setup when we know we need more than one network point. Oh, lifts. What's lifts got to do with IT? The phone, the emergency phone, carried over the data network. Access control. Oh, we'll put our own in. It's fine. So it's going to be different to the building next door. Yeah, that's fine. What about the campus access control system? Oh, yeah, we won't bother with that one. CCTV, which I mentioned already, analog versus IP. Access points. They thought they could put the access points because they're only £20 each from PC World. We know they're not. And there's another example of a device, which is now comes in under the IT realm, PDQs. So the other things is what the user sees. These are what they never see, i.e. power to the cabinets, what fiber specs we want across the university, the debate between 5E, 6, 6A, copper, the debate. They might be happy to give us any old cabinet. Clearly we're not. Oh yeah, cabling runs. The contractors, again, will do whatever convenient for them. If they want to put the tray upside, well, they call it inverted. I'll call it upside down in error, they will. Oh yeah, and just because we've got a job lot of patch panels, they'll use those as well, even though we would like end to end by the same manufacturer. So these are just examples of, oh yeah, we've got what I'm sure you have as well, some data rooms with no lights in. Why would you want lights? They sort of understand switches that our responsibility and servers are ours. Even though in one particular, on the student union shop, they put their own switches in and their own server and then hand it over to us to look after. So those were the main areas which were problematic on Reichel. So we had to be clear who's responsible for what. So like lifts are clearly not our responsibility, but elements of them are. So it's important that we have coordination between the IT department and the estate department and the contractors. We all know if it's not coordinated, it's just confusion for everybody. And the end result is the client or the customer, as the estates call them, I call them users, gets a really, really bad experience. So the IT staff are on site at random points during the period of that construction work. So it's really, really difficult to arrange your staff resources because it's just random. Well, there it is. Difficult to control IT staff resources. So it's confusion for all and frustration, and it ends up with anger. So it's really, really bad. So it's really, really important to have a good relationship. That good? Probably not. I would worry if our relationship was that good. But you need to choose a really good IT lead for each project. What you don't want in some respects is your best firmware programmer, because he might be really, really, really good at IT but poor at communication. Likewise, you don't want your best paper pusher because he doesn't know IT. So it's a combination of IT skills, communication skills, in fact, very similar to your role. And you remember, in the beginning, I think, certainly in 2012, I thought you could have 100% success. You have to accept it's give and take on both sides, and you may have 98% success, 99. Some snags will always be there. Really, really important, as you can guess, sounds obvious, to have site meetings. Be involved from the very beginning. Get yourself at the feasibility point. Make yourself a stakeholder in these projects. Try to avoid this communication mesh where the contractors are asking a number of your staff until they find the right answer. Okay, the last five people in the corridor, in the car park, on site, he gave me this idea yesterday. And they will wait until they have the right answer. And then when you're not happy, they'll say, well, IT said that was the case. And remember, major decision has to go down one conduit. Yeah, between the estates and IT. So that was a huge learning curve for me, the Reichel Halls of Residence project. Then straight after that, we went to a data center refurbishment. Remember this photo, okay? I want to see before and after. So that's how it was before. And why did we do this project? It was the usual thing. 30 years old, no investment, failed aircon, illegal refrigerant. What else did we do? Oh, we had a fly tipping site as well. I could do a whole session on data center refurbishment. Back then, I knew zero about it. Oh my word, I didn't do that, by the way. What happened there? He told me not to move. Didn't it? Anyway, I could give you. It must be spooky because this took over my life, the data center refurbishment. Yes. Yeah, so I could do a whole session on data center refurbishment. I won't, it's only three sides. So the scope of work is just taking it from essentially something that was built in the early 80s to something that I could be proud of today, which has got, you know, generator, UPS, fire suppression, all that business. And yeah, excellent. So what do we learn here is, I think the major thing here, because we were so involved in this particular project, is how many minutes do I have?
10 minutes.
Okay. Is know your place, okay? I know some of us in this room have got backgrounds in electrical engineering, but that's not our day-to-day job. Likewise, we've got estate staff, our M&E engineers, but they're not software engineers. And as we know, we keep on saying there are IT experts everywhere now. The estates department are saying, well, we can put a shelf up at home, suddenly we're construction experts. So there's a balance here of respecting each other, because we know in this room domestic computing is not enterprise computing, and what we need to remember as well, that DIY construction is not commercial construction. So the message here was that we need to respect each other's profession. So it was a joint project between estates and ITS. We had no experience of data center builds, neither of us. They wanted to bring in M&E contractors. This was a really, really, really heated debate. I can still remember it, I've still got the scars, because we wanted data center specialists. Once we got over that hurdle, it was really, really good, because the contractor knew exactly what we wanted. Yeah, data center specialists. I've just said that. Oh, this is a good, that's how it was. Get ready. Well, I think I'm proud of this next one. Okay, look how it is now. Ooh. Really, really pleased about that. And it's down to many of my colleagues that to make that happened. Really pleased about that. So what's the observations we had from the data center? We had the clients. If you don't ask, you don't get. But remember to balance the omissions, additions, and variations, because the contractors will say, oh, yeah, we'll do that for you if it's an extra. And then a month later, 2 months later, you get an invoice for that because it wasn't in the brief. So then your budgets are going out of control. So you need to be careful when you start talking around these three areas, omissions, additions, and variations. Be clear on lead times. Remember, the estates can't just, or the contractors can't just appear and say, can we have, you know, 10 network points this afternoon at 2 o'clock? Just tell them, get into the habit of telling them, no, we need a 7-day lead time or a 3-day lead time. It's clear we need to work together. And I mentioned the communications. Avoid these two. This is in software development as well, which is retrospective experts. You know, at the time, with the information you have, you know, 99% of the time, the decision you make then is correct. You know, 6 months down the line, when you've got more information, it may be not as valuable, that decision. And local design experts try to avoid this as well, where the design has been agreed, then on the, I don't know, in the building, in the car park, in the yard, it starts to change. And then the design authority has then moved from the design company to yourself, so if there are any problems, they'll start pointing finger at the IT department. And that's obvious, don't change the spec, but we're software people anyway, so that gets changed. So what was the conclusion out of those two projects? We really needed this written down, an IT spec. Sounds obvious, but to avoid people asking us random questions via email, over the phone, in the car park, down corridors. If it was all written down, there'd be no discussion. Okay, you can just point to the spec. So what do? We Googled. There were quite a few documents available online. I thought there'd be more. So I just picked three or four at random here. There's one from the University of Houston, which is way, way too detailed. It's even talking about the arc of the cable around the corner. Yeah, that's part of the, you know, ISO standards, the BS standards. But should it be in this kind of document you hand out to contractors? In my opinion, no. Warwick University, that's a good one. Leeds, really good one. One thing I like about Leeds University, obviously I'm here, so I have to say I like it. Good photographs in there, good diagrams. They quote the specification from, or the standards from the main bodies. They give you examples of how they expect the work and the work they wouldn't accept. So that's really, really good. And there's another estates type document, I think this is. It's 600 pages, you know, the contractor on the shop floor. Is he going to read that? Probably not. So what I did is I allowed some of these documents to direct me for an IT spec in Bangor. So the message from the contractors is you need to keep it short and relevant. And that was good about the Leeds document. That's the thing I forgot to mention. It's got the right amount of detail. And it's based on repeated questions from the contractors. And I've not just done the infrastructure. It's not just cable. It's not just fiber. I've included everything that we are responsible for. And it is specific to Bangor, but it could be used. You just change the specifics for your own university. And in there, yeah, as I say, it's not just the cable standards. I'm talking in there about the handover procedure, the drawings, what we expect in the test certificates, the labeling, which is incredibly important. Minimum spec, that's minimum spec of the APs, the switches, the access points, the cables, the servers. So any questions they throw at me, we can quote this spec. And there's only 3 minutes left, and I'm getting towards the end of this. Oh, the strip out is important as well, because you may end up with your access points in the skip, because they've stripped everything out. But we tell them, anyway, that's just one example where they vanished. So we came to 2012. I was determined to make this better. But the tender for the main, for the primary contract had gone out before the IT spec was written. However, we did submit the IT spec probably early 2012, i.e. before the start of the first fix of the cabling, which was good. And this particular project, as it says there, the £3 million refurbishment, change of use from halls to offices. So now we had an opportunity to put what we think was the right approach now. So put the theory into practice. We quoted the IT standards. So we finished with these discussions in meetings and people taking down random notes because we just quoted the spec. Well, as I said there, started to quote the spec, and I was determined this would be a contrast to the shambolic, can you tell I wasn't happy with the right film? Shambolic episode in Reichel. So what happened here? Wow, it's a successful project. The data, we had the whole room for our cabinets. Not only did we have a whole room, we could go around the cabinets. And we wanted, you know, 32 amps of the cabinets. We wanted lights, we wanted cable trays, and it was all put in. They asked us to come up to observe 10% of our of their testing, which we did. We reviewed all the certificates. And only after we reviewed the certificates and happy with the certificates did we connect to the main network. Best labeling ever, because I made the point in the site meetings that we'd reject the work if the labeling wasn't down to our spec. And this was coordinated and structured use of IT staff. And the commission program was around the land availability, not some random point towards the end of the contract. So the great thing for us, there was no site visits afterwards for faults. So we came to this project, which is 2013. So the first time we were a stakeholder, we were right at the beginning of this project. We were at the feasibility stage. The spec was reviewed by us. I think the main contractor spec. Our spec was submitted at the same time. And we had layers in the CAD drawings for our APs. And we were involved in various meetings. And again, this is another success story. Apart from one element, which I'll come up to, that's a good question to ask. What went wrong on Garth, okay? Remember, Garth. So remember, you have the ace up the sleeve. If you're not happy with the work, certainly in Bangor, this is what we do. We, what do? Connect to the land only when you're happy. You need the authority to do this, and you need to be strong as well, because you get a lot of pressure to connect to the land when you know you're not ready. Once you connect to the land, I think it's too late then. And Pontu, this is this summer. This is a project that's, because it's a £40 million project, this has been bubbling for probably the last 4 years. So I couldn't get the IT spec. It didn't even exist, the IT spec, you know, 4 years ago. But we have submitted it probably 12 months ago, 18 months ago, and they are adhering to that. So certainly in the meetings, I just have to quote, that's how it was 12 months ago. So in the meetings, in the site meetings, I just quote the spec. No discussion, as per spec. Might say that, that's how it was last week, and it's opening in September. God, will we make it? I don't know. Anyway, that's not my responsibility. That's what it's going to look like. Ooh. Yeah, 2,000 data points, 8 cabinets, 8 data rooms in there. All the rooms are specified big enough to take a large cabinet, and we can go around it. Yeah, it's an art and it's got lecture room theatres. Pontio, that's the off the website. Pontio will be a world-class art and invite, so we don't want to get this wrong. £40 million spend on it, we want to get this right. Summary, 2 slides left, I'm on time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow, that's the short history. Reichel, as I said, shambolic. Really, really, really bad. Data center refurbishment, fantastic project. We had problems, but once we got estates, the right contractor, data center contractor on board, and our department, we did really, really, really well because everything had to be transferred. You know, all the fiber connections, all the copper into new cabinets. And now that installation is just fantastic. It really, really is good. 2012, successful project, as was 2013. Remember your question, Garth. Pontio, so far so good. I certainly say for Bangor University, this IT spec has transformed our working practices, it's made us more efficient. Conclusion, I would advise you all to create an IT spec, but you need management buy-in, because this is the thing you're gonna hit the contractor over the head with. This is the stick. And you need to review it frequently because, as we all know, technology changes monthly. And try to get this IT spec into the main contract. Oh, and a thanks to David Round, one of my colleagues in Bangor, for huge inputs into the spec itself. And you just... Questions? Right, what's the question?
Does anybody want to ask that question? Cheers.
No, I've been asked a different question.
What? It was the IT spec had draft across it for 2 years because the directors in the States wouldn't accept it. Well, they thought it was, but then we had a new director probably 3 months ago in the States, and he said, fantastic idea, give it to me, I'll review it, because there were bits in there that were pertinent to estates, so they had to sign off on it. And the new director, he was happy to do so, and now it's gone from draft to final. So yes, you do need buy-in at both ends.
So what went wrong with Garth?
Excellent question. What went wrong with Garth? In site meetings, I said we want 6A. That's what I said in the spec, we want 6A. The contractor said, yeah, no problem, we've put in 6 in. No, 6A. Yeah, stop asking me the question. They would say, we've got 6 in. When the cables went in, probably 2 weeks into the cabling exercise, we went onto site. We noticed that the cable had 6 down the side. So the next site meeting, 3 days later, I brought this up with the piece of cable I'd cut off, and it's 6. And he goes, there, that's right. I said, no, it's 6A. And because it was in the spec, they had to take it out and put 6A in. So they tried to say, well, you know, it's handover in 3 weeks, no way we can do this. But they had to, because we said we're not going to connect you to the network. Good question about Garth, thank you.
Thank you, Sim. Judging by the nods around the room, I think a lot of you have been in that kind of situation, so hopefully you found that talk interesting. So can you just show appreciation for Sim?
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.